Silence is golden, especially when it comes to brakes. That's why Napa Silent Guard are built to be one of the smoothest and most quiet brakes on the market. Made with fiber-reinforced shims that eliminate noise for the life of the pad, rubber-coated hardware for a better fit, and quality design that meets and exceeds OE performance. Silent Guard brakes deliver the stopping power drivers demand. Available now at Napa locations nationwide.
The Motor Racing Network presents an MRN original podcast series.
Have a look at Jeff Gordon. He's starting to close the gap.
Jeff Gordon, the colorful career of the Rainbow Warrior.
I don't look at him as grown-ups when I'm out there. I just look at him as competitors.
What a big day for young Jeff Gordon and the Bill Davis Racing Team.
This is the biggest dream come true for me ever.
Jeff Gordon is leader, Earnhardt is second.
Sorry, bud, but Jeff Gordon, he's just a better driver than you are.
Jeff Gordon holds off a last lap charge by Jeff Burton and wins the Winston Million.
He won those championships. He revolutionized the sport.
They're side by side on quarter number four.
Gordon leans on Jimmy Johnson coming down to the line.
People can see there definitely was a change in our relationship.
From the Motor Racing Network studios in Concord, North Carolina, here's your host, Brian Nelson.
Jeff Gordon, the kid who transformed NASCAR from a sport dominated by good old boys to one that also featured young, attractive drivers not raised in the South, is undoubtedly one of the greatest racers to ever have competed in NASCAR.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Over his 27-year NASCAR career, Jeff raked in 4 Cup Series championships and 93 Cup Series wins, good enough for 3rd all-time. And his good looks and charming personality helped to make NASCAR a global phenomenon. This series of podcasts traces Jeff's story from shy California kid to Indiana sprint car sensation to transformative NASCAR legend, and follows his journey from driver to team owner to media darling. Jeffrey Michael Gordon was the second child born to William and Carol Ann Gordon in Vallejo, California on August 4th, 1971. 6 months later, his mother and father split, and Carol, a single mom of two, went to work in the billing department of a local medical supply company. It was there that she met the mechanically minded John Bickford, and the two began dating at nearby Vallejo Speedway.
John and my mom got married when I was very young. And you know, so he was really my dad. I mean, he was the one that really truly brought me up.
John remembers meeting a very young Jeff Gordon.
Well, the first time I met him, he was having a temper tantrum. And he was about not quite a year old, and mother here was a little bit concerned because his sister was quiet and very reserved and reading a book. And Jeff is beating his head against the wall, screaming at the top of his lungs. And I checked the door to make sure she hadn't locked me in. And I had an escape route, but I decided to stick with it and see if we couldn't get him calmed down. But in his early, early days, he was, I guess I can use the word, hellion.
Jeff may have started out a hellion, but his mom, Carol, says his temperament changed as he grew.
Shy. I would say he was very shy, quiet. Didn't talk to a lot of people. He talked to John and I and, you know, the family members, but he was very quiet and shy.
Jeff's stepdad, John Bickford, had become quite a fan of local racing and passed this love on to his young stepson.
We brought this little pedal car home one day, and it was as innocent as I would go on the weekends, you know, follow my parents, whatever they were doing, I would do. And my stepdad would take trash to this what we called the dumps, and you'd go there and saw this little car, this little plastic pedal car that was there. It looked like it was in pretty good shape, And so we're dropping off our trash, and we picked that thing up and brought it home. And I just remember going down this hill as fast as I could in that thing. And then it became a competition where we all wanted to get on it. We all wanted to ride this car as fast as we could down this hill. And after that, between that and the bicycle, I just remember wanting to go fast.
Jeff Gordon's first foray into competitive racing was bicycle motocross. As a five-year-old, he did well. He won several races and made it to the 1976 state championships. But his mom believed BMX was too dangerous for Jeff and put an end to it, which prompted a shift to 50-mile-per-hour quarter midgets for 1977.
Well, when he showed up in 1977, you know, he weighed 32 pounds, I think it was. He was unquestionably the littlest kid at the quarter midget track.
Jeff's stepdad urged him to practice, hoping to keep his six-year-old busy and out of trouble.
He just had an incredible work ethic. You know, he was very determined, very driven. And I don't know if naturally, you know, not only did I probably not have that, I don't even know if I have that today. So it took more discipline and took somebody to push me for me to get the most out of what I was capable of doing. And there's no doubt in my mind that I would not have excelled in racing or been a race car driver. I probably would not have taken those risks and chances had it not been for the influence of my stepfather.
By the start of the 1977 quarter midget season, Jeff was ready to compete, and his youth and small stature proved to be a plus.
He was the youngest, and he was the smallest. Now, in quarter midgets, small was a monstrous advantage because the cars were set at 150 pounds. Whatever the driver weighed, the driver weighed. That's all changed now. So now it's a total weight car, and which was go-karts were like that. So as you move through quarter midgets, we always were a small guy, always had an advantage. He had exceptional skill. He had a great mechanic, and we traveled. So it made us very competitive.
At the peak of Jeff's quarter midget career, he and his family traveled the West Coast, racing three tracks per weekend. Through 1977 and 78, Jeff won 35 main events and set five track records, all while his parents insisted Jeff, not yet 10 years old, do for himself and act like a professional.
Last year, Jeffrey Gordon was the fastest quarter midget car racer in the Western United States in his class.
At the age of seven, he caught the eye of a children's program from the San Francisco Bay Area.
Jeff lets his dad know how the car is running and what problems the course is giving him. Then they make the needed adjustments.
Over that corner, when you come out of it, it's bumpy, but when you come into this corner, it's bumpy.
Uh-huh. It's not bumpy up by the wall, though, right?
Nuh-uh.
Where's the car slide at?
In these things.
On the concrete?
Yeah.
We added go-karts into the equation in late 79 and early 80, but go-karts is in those days was an adult sport on the West Coast that they also brought their kids along. So it was an also class. Very few kids participated in it. Dirt was just getting started, so we had a dirt go-kart, we had an asphalt go-kart, we had the quarter midgets. We were trying to do all of those.
And 1979 was a very successful year for 8-year-old Jeff Gordon. He dominated at tracks in Northern California, winning 52 times.
We were very successful, for sure. And, you know, I've always been one that wanted to compete against the best kids. So in August of 79, we went up against the national championship. In those days, they only had one national championship. So all of the kids arrived that were national competitors arrived in Denver, Colorado. And we at Jefferson County Fairgrounds, and we were fortunate. We had an engine problem in one class, so we weren't in the A main in that class, but we won the B main. There was no transfers in those days, and we handily won that after we were able to repair the motor. A lot of rules about not being able to touch your motor or do things like that, so it wasn't anything we could do. But in the other class that we had, we dominated the class. We had quick time. We set track records. Never been broken, and we won the race handily. So it was his first national championship.
And the winning continued through 1980, 81, and 82. As the trophies piled up, winning became old hat.
When you're winning, it can get boring. You can burn out quickly. You have to keep that challenge there. I think that not being successful keeps you engaged more than being successful.
Boredom and Jeff Gordon were not a good combination. In the early 80s, as Jeff started junior high, he took up breakdancing and started hanging out with older, influential kids that led him toward trouble. His parents tried to reel him in with other pursuits, like competitive water skiing, but eventually they decided to step up their commitment to auto racing.
This opportunity came through a magazine article of a kid in Florida named Sport Allen, who was 14 and he was driving a sprint car. And I knew sprint cars very well, made parts for them and worked on my friends and did kind of engineering behind them, you know, to make them faster and lighter and so on. And so I traveled to Indiana with Jeff. We raced in Indiana and we stopped by the guy that I thought built one of the best sprint car chassis in the country and said, "What do you think?" He thought I was going to be the driver. When I pointed to Jeff, he just started laughing and told me to leave. His name was Lee Osborne. Great, great guy. But, you know, he wasn't buying into this 13-year-old kid that weighed like 80 pounds driving a 650 horsepower sprint car.
Eventually, Jeff's stepdad persuaded Lee Osborne to send a sprint car chassis to California, and the car was prepared for a debut in 1985.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
As a 13-year-old, Jeff, his mom, stepdad, and a couple of friends loaded up the newly finished sprint car and drove south of Sacramento to Dixon, California, a rural community with plenty of room. It was there that Jeff climbed behind the wheel for the first time, and a truck helped push start the massive motor.
The first time we fired that engine up, in the car just leaped off the ground just from the power of it at idle was something that I'll never forget for the rest of my life. And I couldn't wait to get it out of gear. If anybody knows anything about a sprint car, you lock it in gear. There's no transmission. There's no clutch or anything like that. And it fires up and you just have to get it out of gear. And I got the thing out of gear and it's sitting there idling. Bum, 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 bum. The whole car is just rocking back and forth. And I'm sitting there in this car with the drive shaft running between my legs to the back of this crankshaft and the engine that's mounted inches from my feet. And I realized right then, I'm sitting like on a rocket. They're going to strap me in this thing, and when I step on the gas, it is going to take off for the moon is what it felt like to me.
That was the winter of 1984 and 85. But with encouragement from his stepfather, Jeff confronted his fear, and plans were made to travel to Florida for a series of sprint car races that February.
Running third now, Jeff Gordon in the 16X car. Jeff doing a great job.
Ahead were some seemingly insurmountable obstacles and a wild new racing adventure for the kid. Next time on Jeff Gordon, A Colorful Career.
So he hot-lapped one of the fastest cars. He was there four times. Four times he made the Trophy Dash, which is the fastest four cars. And this is against all of Northern California, the Jimmy Sills, the Brent Cadings, the Chuck Greens, all these guys were there. So we were pretty proud of ourselves. And that gave us the enthusiasm to head east.
Jeff Gordon and family make a life-changing move that leads them to challenge track operators and gives birth to a racing celebrity.
This program was a presentation of the Motor Racing Network with studios in Concord, North Carolina and Daytona Beach, Florida. Jeff Gordon, The Colorful Career of the Rainbow Warrior, was written and produced by Brian Nelson. Any use of the accounts or descriptions contained within this broadcast must be with the express written permission of NASCAR and the Motor Racing Network.